Dear beloved of God, grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. One Sunday morning, many years ago, we lost my sister at church. She was probably like 4 or 5 at the time, which means I was something like 7 or 8. I don't remember exactly, and I couldn't bring myself to call my mom to ask her. Didn't want her to relive the trauma. It was a regular run-of-the-mill Sunday. Choir, Sunday school, donut holes. My parents and grandparents were chatting with their friends, and all of a sudden we realized we hadn't seen my sister in a while. We started walking around the main level. We checked upstairs where the Sunday school rooms were, checked downstairs in Fellowship Hall. We called her name, but we couldn't find her. And as a little kid, I was pretty anxious. I started to cry. We were all a little bit of a mess. Turns out she was playing hide and seek and just hadn't told any of us. When somebody would go upstairs to look for her, she would go down the other stairs. When we would come back down, she would go back up. I think my parents would have been furious with her if they weren't so glad she was back with them safe and sound. And my sister, for her part, she was just having fun. She knew the church, its building, its people, and it felt like a safe place. So she was comfortable stretching and pushing the boundaries. Of course, I was reminded of this little episode from my childhood when I was reading this morning's gospel reading from Luke. Mary and Joseph have a very similar experience, only it's like turned up to 11 because they've left town and they travel for a day before they realize Jesus isn't with them. Quick recap in case you tuned out earlier. Joseph, Mary, and Jesus and their people head to Jerusalem from Nazareth. It's like a 100-mile trip. This is an annual pilgrimage that the family made to celebrate the Passover festival. The Passover was and is a big deal. It celebrated Israel's liberation from slavery in Egypt. Families and communities came together in Jerusalem to worship at the temple. The city would have been hopping, filled with folks from all over the region, creating this vibrant atmosphere during the festival season. And when the festival concluded, everyone went home, except for Jesus. The whole entourage that he is traveling with heads back to Nazareth without him. Now, before you start parent-shaming Mary and Joseph, because that's a thing these days, keep in mind it's not like they left Jesus in his car seat outside the Prius as they took off down the road. Jesus at this point is 12, a middle schooler functionally, and they are traveling with lots and lots of family and friends. This is like Home Alone's McAllister family on steroids. It would have been easy for Mary and Joseph to assume that Jesus is either walking in the front with some cousins or in the back with some aunts and uncles. And there's no guarantee that Mary and Joseph are actually walking together. They could easily assume that one of them has eyes on Jesus, until they stop to make camp that night. And then they realize Jesus isn't with them and justifiably start freaking out. They head back to Jerusalem, and after looking for 3 days, they find Jesus in the temple, wowing the teachers with his knowledge and his questions. And Mary chews Jesus out. "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." And Jesus says, Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house? As a parent, I find it just a little comforting to know that even Jesus, as a preteen, got a little lippy with his parents. This is such a human story. The family trip not going exactly as planned. The parent-child interactions. Mom, it's not that big of a deal. Jesus growing up and pushing boundaries in a place where he feels comfortable and safe. So very relatable. Very human dimension of the story. But there's also more. I don't think it's an accident that Luke situates the story in the context of the Passover festival. Families would make three pilgrimages in a year for three different festivals. But Luke tells this story during the Passover. And if you'll remember, the Passover was that moment when God was trying to protect God's people from the final plague. God instructed each household to sacrifice a lamb and mark their doorposts with its blood. The blood acted as a sign for the angel to pass over these houses, sparing the firstborn child within. I don't think it's an accident that Jesus is lost in the temple for 3 days. This is the place where God was believed to most reliably be found. And I don't think it's an accident that when Jesus leaves, he's once again loose out in the world. In one of the Apostle Paul's letters to the church in the city of Philippi, he writes, "Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited. But he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And then being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross." That's where this story is headed. In Jesus, God has entered into the beauty and the mess of our humanity. And in doing so, Jesus gives away status and power and privilege. He humbles himself, and he does all of it for you. In today's story, we get a hint that this sassy preteen knows that he's going to be about something bigger, something different in this life. To borrow language from John's gospel, this boy Jesus will become the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Because of Jesus, you and I have a place in God's house, now and forever. Amen.